Welcome back to another episode of Moms Unbothered. I'm Kate, this is Jordan, and we have a very special guest today. This is Jen from General Health on Instagram. Her page focuses on internal health, gut health, fitness, and so much more. Jen, we are so excited to have you on.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me on. Really looking forward to chatting with you and getting into all the details.
Yay, we're excited. And I actually know Jen from real life, college back in the day.
Different people.
Different people for sure. So yeah, it's fun to catch up like face to face rather than just texting, whatever. So, all right, let's get to it. So like, tell us what's got you started into fitness and then like that evolved into like taking control of your own health and more of a holistic lifestyle. And now you help other people. So like, yeah, tell us how you got into it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always kind of been involved in sports and very athletic person. I did track in college. And so that's always been an interest of mine. And then I got into, you know, the weightlifting scene as a result of that. Which was really fun, really great. But then like, as the years went on, it became more of like a macro focus where I was like, so hyper focused on just macros. Right. I feel like a lot of people have been there where they don't really care about the ingredients. Right. They're just like, can I hit my macros and fill it with so many processed foods? Over the years I got on birth control. I had a few rounds of antibiotics, right? Like, things happen, right? And I didn't have the information or the knowledge that I do now. And with all of those things that were in place, I started getting like really bad gut issues and I would bloat like every single meal. My rest, like, or my sleep was not restful at all. I'd be waking up at like odd times of the hour. And I was like constantly sore, definitely overworking my body and like over, like going to the gym, doing intense HIIT workouts, all that stuff, right? Which I do feel like a lot of people kind of fall into nowadays. And it could be really damaging to like the internal health aspect. And so I went to the doctors, right? Did all of these tests and they just came back and said, okay, well, you're just going to have to avoid these foods for the rest of your life. And here's a PPI for you to take, right? And I was just like thinking, I was like, this just feels so wrong to me. Like, my internal like gut was just telling me like, this is wrong. Like I used to be able to eat all these foods and now I all of a sudden can't eat them. Like that doesn't make sense to me, you know? And they had no other answers. And so I did my own research and I found a mentor and he helped me guide me through like my own gut health issues. I had what they call SIBO and, Candida and a few other things as well. But anyways, he really helped me like go through that process. And then he guided me on helping my other clients go through it as well. And so now that's been like 4 years since then. And that's kind of where my business has shifted to. And so that's like my main focus is fixing the internal health because that's helped so much on the outward one, like goals, if you have like a weight loss goals or building muscle or anything like in regards to that, but you have a ton of underlying health issues, it's going to be way harder to hit those goals. So I, now my business is more focused on the internal health aspect and yeah, we still definitely go for outward appearance and all that. Like people love to look good and want that, but like, I want to make the focus more like, let's fix the internal stuff, get you feeling good. Right. And then feeling strong. And then we can go from there. So yeah, it's been a journey, but it's been so fun.
Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. Like you got to heal from the inside to the outside first. Oh. Can you explain or just like tell people what SIBO is? I don't think a lot of people know.
Yeah. So SIBO is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. Essentially, it causes like fermentation in the gut. And so when you eat certain veggies, it can cause a lot of gas buildup and it can cause a lot of bloat and discomfort. And so there are these veggies that are like high FODMAP veggies, essentially that are really good for you. They're prebiotic foods. So they help feed the good bacteria in your gut, but they also can cause a lot of gas and kind of like a reaction if you do have SIBO. Which can cause like a lot of bloating, gas, discomfort, all of that stuff. So It felt like everything that I ate, I bloated on, and it was like mm-hmm. such an uncomfortable and annoying feeling, you know? So some of those foods are like the onion, garlic, you know, things that are in almost every seasoning, every food that you go out to eat with. And it was just causing issues. So it almost felt like anything I ate, I would bloat on. So just super annoying, you know?
I feel like even like water, some people bloat because it just is so bad.
Yeah.
But overgrowth.
Totally. And there's a lot of things, you know, that people could be dealing with. There's parasites, obviously. There's candida. There's SIBO. There's SIFO. There's just like so many different elements to gut health, and people could be having it, you know, like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And depending on what they're dealing with, like we'll have a different approach slightly. But that's also why I believe like, as far as like the diet that's best for everybody, there isn't one, because mm-hmm. if you do have SIBO, there's going to be certain veggies that you might want to pull out, not forever, but just while you're healing, right? Whereas if you have candida, which is like a yeast overgrowth, that diet's going to look a little bit different than the SIBO, right? Or if you have low stomach acid, you have a really hard time digesting meat. So maybe lowering your meat content for a bit might help you in the long run, right? Just to feel good. But there's so many things like in regards to it, and yeah, you could really dive into a bunch of detail, but that's kind of like an overview, I guess.
So would you say like you were mainly focused on just like working out macros and that, and then once you kind of developed these issues with your internal health, then you kind of switched over to the holistic, right?
Yeah. So, sorry, you keep going.
Well, I feel like this is so common with the like fitness industry, because everyone's like, if it fits your macros, eat junk, eat whatever, eat like crap. And then like people don't realize like that's not it. Like just because you can keep a fit body doesn't mean like internally that like everything is okay. And I think a lot of people don't get that. So
totally,
that's awesome that you were able to like make the switch instead of just thinking like, oh, this is just normal, this is how everyone is.
Right. And I will say that like I had so many compliments back then when I was like, you know, in my prime, I guess, like fitness era. Like people said, oh, you look so good, you know, like six pack, all that stuff, right? All the muscles. And I still have a great physique today. I still love the way I look, but I feel so much better. Like back then mm-hmm. they'd look at me and be like, oh, you look so healthy. But like internally, I did not feel it. So, and there's a big thing with that too. It's like sometimes the people that like, I guess, are the fittest, right? They could be really suffering inside too. So
if someone comes to you and they are, you know, not feeling great, what are the first things you're looking for root cause, or like what gut issues are you trying to go after first?
Right. So it totally depends on the person, right? And how I approach this is I have a little form that they fill out essentially that goes over all the symptoms that they are experiencing, because you can get a lot of information just based off of like what symptoms they have, right? And what issues are going on. And so I do take that approach first. We look at the different symptoms, and it also depends on like financially, how much money do they have to give to different tests essentially. So there is a comprehensive panel that we could do with lab work and blood work, which I always recommend doing. Even people who are healthy and gone through, I'm like always recommend doing at least once a year, getting your labs drawn. So I do recommend that. And then we go over the symptoms together, and depending on how many symptoms they have, if it's like a more complex case or they have a lot of different things going on, I do recommend like a GI map from Diagnostic Solutions. That's the typical test that I usually have. There's a lot of them out there, but that's the one I trust. And it's a stool sample that they send you an at-home kit, and you collect it from home and you send it off, and you get a lot of information based off of, you know, different bacteria that are going on, your good bacteria, your bad bacteria, parasites, candida, leaky gut, inflammation. Like there's so much that is on that test. And I think it's definitely worth the money personally, just to see, you know, what's going on. And then if they do get that test, then we take the approach of, you know, healing it, which is kind of like a three-step, I look at it as a three-step phase where we want to get your liver in a really good spot to help with the detoxification process mm-hmm. and be able to handle all the toxins that can come from, you know, removing them and getting your body in balance. So that's kind of the first step is really working on liver health. And then the next couple of steps is just mainly removing the bad stuff, right? Making sure we can get the good bacteria back in balance with, you know, whatever's going on. And then the third phase is kind of like sealing it all up, I like to think of it as, mm-hmm. because like the leaky gut stuff, which is essentially little like micro tears in your gut lining. And a lot of people suffer with that whenever they have gut issues because it puts a lot of stress on the body. And that's the main cause of leaky gut is just stress. And so in that third phase is kind of where we focus on trying to like rebuild the gut lining and like heal it up and kind of mm-hmm. go into a maintenance phase, right? So yeah, it totally just depends on like what symptoms you're having, because there could be a ton of different combination of things and whatnot going on.
Yeah, I love people always message me like asking for help, but like everybody's just so individual. Yeah. You don't know what's going on. And like, you can just throw supplements at it and in fact, totally. Just be making the problem worse, like totally. Not feeling yeah. better. And then you're getting more frustrated and you're spending
money on those supplements. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, time. Might as well. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. What are like some symptoms that may surprise people, like of like hormone imbalance or gut imbalance? Like,
yeah,
I think some people don't realize like everything's connected. So like, what are some symptoms that could really surprise people?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot out there for sure. I'd say the one that surprised me the most, which is so crazy to me, was I personally had like this, it almost felt like a really sore muscle in between my shoulder blades, and it was constantly there. And that was like, this is so weird. I feel like it's a muscle issue, and it's actually like related to the gallbladder and like not able to produce, and the liver kind of not producing bile and properly and stuff like that. So I was like, that one like shocked me. For me personally, when I found that out, I was like, that's so weird. But there's a lot of them. There's brain fog, right? There's general itchiness. Like if you have really itchy skin or any kind of like skin issues in general, whether that's like eczema, psoriasis, acne, things like that, right? Those can all be related, almost always related to the gut. Sleeping issues, like I said, like waking up. I used to always wake up like 3 o'clock on the dot, and I was like, this is so crazy. Mm-hmm. Like every single time I'd wake up and not be able to fall asleep for a little while. Even if you have to get up to go pee, your body is usually not waking you up to go pee. That's waking you up for a different reason. And I think a lot of people think, oh, I just had to pee and I just had to wake up. And I'm like, no, that's actually not true. Your body can hold, you know, your pee until you wake up. It's something else going on, whether it's an organ that's, you know, really, going through different processes during that time. And that's what's waking you up. That's what was waking me up. Again, I had like liver issues that I had to like work through. And my liver is most active at 3 a.m. for everybody that's listening. Like your liver is pretty active at 3 a.m. So if you're waking up and finding yourself waking up at that time very often, then it could be maybe you need some love with your liver, you know? So mm-hmm. just like, I'd say those are like the most shocking ones, but again, there's a list of things that it, like different symptoms, I guess, that could be for different things. So
I can't remember. Do you do the coffee enemas for liver support?
I don't do them as regular as I should, but that is a great one for liver health. So
I'm trying to get Mary Kate on board. I love a good coffee enema.
Yeah.
Still trying to convince her.
Should do it more, honestly, but I don't. But yes, I should do it because it is so good. It really clears you out and like really helps with a lot of things. So
that's one of those things that people are like, that's some woo-woo shit. Like totally. No thanks, but totally. It's nice.
Well, and there's a lot of stuff out there that is like, I used to think that was crazy, you know, and now here I am, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just in crazy there. When you can open your mind up to, you know, the holistic world and like how you can heal from it. And it's really pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
What are your favorite gut healing foods and supplements? Or again, do you think it's more like you need to test to see what's best for you type thing. Because I think a lot of people just see like, oh, this person's taking this, I'm going to take it too. But if you don't test, you don't know that your body needs that. Right. So what do you?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a really good question because it is really individualized, right? Like this is just an example. I had a client who would eat like all the, you know, healthy things that you see on Instagram and whatnot, like sauerkraut and kombucha and kefir and all of these great things that are really great, but she had some actually a really big candida overgrowth. And when you have candida, sometimes fermented food just like fuels the fire. And so these fermented foods, although they are really healing and can be really beneficial, they were just like causing so much inflammation in her body and was just feeding the candida continuously. Mm-hmm. So we had to actually like totally change her diet completely around, right? And remove all the fermented foods, remove a lot of the, she didn't have a lot of sugar, but more of the carbs and do, you know, more of a fat and protein heavy diet in order to kill off this candida because it was pretty high. So it does depend on the person, but I will say if you are generally a healthy individual and you don't feel like you have a lot of gut issues, right? Then that's when like the sauerkraut, the kefir, that stuff is really, really great for you. And I do utilize that in a lot of my clients that have gone through like a gut healing phase or are in a really good spot with their gut health. And I think that stuff can be really beneficial for your good bacteria, right? So I do often use like food wise. I do think that fermented food can be really powerful. I also think like supplement wise, there are some things that like are generally like safe that anybody could take and be totally fine with, but it does depend. Like some things you might take and might be wasting your money because you don't really need it. But I would say leaky gut, like L-glutamine is one of those that like, especially if you train really hard in the gym, you can be causing a lot of stress on your body and your gut lining. And so I do think like L-glutamine with your workout or post-workout shake or whatever can be pretty beneficial for some. Also it depends on like what you're dealing with. So yeah, glutamine is really great for helping with leaky gut and things like that, that can come from like a high stress environment or really pushing yourself in the gym. There's another one, like a lot of people think probiotics is like a really great one to take no matter what. And there's a time and a place for them for sure. Whenever I have like a gut healing phase or somebody going through one, I do usually add probiotics, but that's also because I can see from the GI map where their good bacteria levels are at. Some people don't need them and they already have high levels as it is. And like just adding those in can be causing a lot of issues as well. And so it's hard because a lot of people generalize of like what they think they need. And it really comes down to like, you're an individual person with individual issues going on, or like your health is different, right? And so based off of that, you should choose your supplements. And I think that like you could have a generalized like, you know, liver supplement in there if you feel like your liver is constantly trying to struggle, or for females, like the second half of your cycle, it's really good to help with the liver side of things just because you detoxify and eliminate estrogen through your poop. And so helping that process can help with PMS and different things like that. So there's certain supplements that I even like take based off of my cycle and when I need them. So that's also another way to look at it. But I'd say like those are generally like, I'd say just test because it is good, important to know. And yeah, there's a lot of things that you could be doing that could be harming you and you don't even know it. So
do you also work out based on where you're at in your cycle? Or
so I honestly, I did that for a little while. And I think that or the thinking and the mindset of it is really great and to consider, but there's sometimes that I feel really good in the right before my period will start. And if I'm feeling really good, then I have no problems with like lifting heavy and like pushing myself. But if I can tell that like my body is pretty tired or not as much energy, right, I'll listen to those cues and I won't go as heavy or push myself nearly as hard. It's hard because I do love lifting weights. Like it's just like so much fun to me. And again, you can definitely tone down lifting and increase the intensity just based off of like your intention for that day. And so that's kind of what I base it off. So I guess I do kind of do it, but not in the way that you see it on Instagram, yeah. Right? Yeah. I mainly just look at it as like, how's my body feeling? I do have like an Oura ring as well. So I do love the information that I can get from that as well. And I will say like, if I'm supporting my body, my liver, especially for me, like liver's always been a big one for me. But if I'm supporting my liver health, especially in that second half of my cycle, I notice my body recovers way better, has more energy. Like it feels so much better that, again, this is just for me. Doesn't mean it's for everybody, but listening to my cues and my body is just like the most important thing. And that's what I preach to a lot of my clients too, because you have to like take a step back. Everybody's like so about like the future, what's happening tomorrow, the next day, right? Mm-hmm. But like taking a moment to like breathe and just be like, wait, how do I feel, right? I feel like is so hard for people nowadays because everybody's just living this super fast paced life. And so I do think it's really important to kind of like be present and kind of focus on how do you feel, where's your body at, and kind of check in with yourself, you know?
Yeah. We always talk about that. Listen to yourself, yes. Like in the sense of being a mom too. We always say like, listen to your intuition, like when it comes yeah. to your children and yourself. And yeah, I love that. For everybody listening, Jen, half the year, her and her husband and her pups are living the van life. Yeah. And it's like super cool to follow along with that. So Jen, how do you like prioritize being healthy on the road and like, you know, keeping to your regimen, I guess?
Totally. Yeah. So van life is definitely different. You have to, like, people who are very routine oriented might not do so well with the van life because your routines do get a little screwed up. Now you can have like little routines that you have in place for like bedtime and morning routines and whatnot, but the day to day is so different. And, but it's so fun. Like if you can get into that personality or like that place where you just feel, you can have a different day every single day, then it is so fun and I love it so much. But it is challenging, especially like the working out aspect, because, you know, every place that you go, some might have gyms, some might not have gyms. And it depends on like, do we do body weight stuff? And so this is how I look at it. I look at it as like, this is an experience that, you know, we are loving and we're creating all these fun memories. And if the gym comes second, then I'm okay with that. I usually have a goal to go to the gym only twice a week while I'm in the van. And if I can hit that goal, I'll just do like one upper body day and one lower body day. And if I can do that, then I feel like I'm pretty content with that because we're also doing like a lot of biking and hiking and doing so many active things, right? And in order to like maintain muscle mass, you actually don't have to work out as much as people think. You really only need like 3 or 4 hard sets of a muscle group to really maintain. And so that's why I'm like looking at, if you're looking at that, don't stress on it too much. And back in the day, I used to stress out if I didn't get like a workout in every single day. And obviously that's way too much on the body, but that's how it was back then. Now my mindset has shifted completely. And I'm just more looking at like trying to maintain my health and enjoy the time that I have while I'm in the van. As far as like food goes, obviously there is like more times that you're going to be going out to eat and things like that. Which I love now because my body can handle it. Back then, my body used to like struggle with anything like that. But now I do make sure to prioritize like my digestion as much as I can to help support that. So whether that's like, you know, taking some HCL and digestive enzymes with my meals out, and then really prioritizing like keeping our fridge full, even though it is a tiny fridge, we do have like enough for probably like 3-ish, 4 days of food in there until we have to go to the grocery store again. So making sure that it's stocked up with, you know, like we have like rice and potatoes and, you know, a good healthy carb source with like protein source, you know, whereas ground beef, we use a lot of ground beef because it's so easy to cook up. And you know, we can stay pretty consistent and make some pretty awesome meals in the van. while enjoying our time and enjoying new places and things like that. So it's hard because it's like you have to understand that you're not always going to have the perfect day, and some days are going to be crazy and like so annoying. And everybody sees like van life as like this magical experience every single day. And like sometimes you're sleeping at the most beautiful campsite you'll ever see, and then sometimes you're like in a parking lot like the next day. So it's just like so much variety. But yeah, so I don't like put too much pressure on myself to like be perfect at everything, but I do make sure that I travel with certain supplements to help support my body. And then just make sure I try and get as many of my routines in as I can to help you feel like a little bit more sane, I guess. But it is a lot of fun though.
Yeah. You guys don't want to follow Jen for her health content, at least follow her for her van content. Cause it is magical to watch you. It's so cool. It's super so fun. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to like live through you.
Well, that makes me happy because sometimes I'm like, is this just annoying of me? You know, like me
no. posting this stuff. But... No, it's cool. It's so cool. And the dogs just, they look so happy too.
Oh, they're loving life. Honestly, they like, and it was an adjustment for them at first, but now they've become like van life dogs, and it's so fun.
So speaking of your dogs, you talk a bit about the gut health of your dogs and how you kind of started that journey. Can you tell us like, how do you even know to like, why did you want to start that, I guess? Or like, why did you start looking into your dog's gut health?
Yeah. So we have, our dogs have always kind of had like gut issues. And like ever since we got Mowgli, he was like a puppy. And right as we got him, I was like, he's having diarrhea and like throwing up and doing all sorts of things. And I was always like, why is this? Like, we didn't even change his food. Obviously, like we took him to the vet multiple times, and it's hard because like the vet is kind of more in line with like a typical doctor's office, right? They kind of deal with pets. Obviously doctors deal with humans, but they are about the same as far as like procedures and things that they do for dogs. So we just like, you know, went along with the vet side, trusted them 100%, and they just never got better. And we were spending all this money, like whenever he would have an episode, and for him, an episode was like, he would start throwing up and he would get like really lethargic and like have a lot of pain in his stomach. And so we always had to like take him in, and they would like give him fluids and, you know, give him something to help with the nausea and everything. Anyways, so.
And it's expensive.
It's so expensive. And anyways, so once I started learning more about, you know, my gut health is when I kind of started looking into their gut health. Now, I will say they're not perfect, and I'm not like a dog gut health specialist, but we have been able to like improve their health so much. There's this website. It's called the Pet Health and Nutrition Center. They are so cool. And I found these guys when I was like really diving into like their certain issues and their stomach issues. And essentially what they have is they have a website, and it has all these certain issues that are listed. And let me read some of them, like health conditions. So you have like allergies, arthritis, candida, constipation. I mean, they have so many. Eye health, giardia, heart disease. Like there's a list of them, and they have these really awesome products that are really clean and just pretty much like supplements for dogs to help support their body in certain things. And so they have something called, well, my dogs have bilious vomiting syndrome, and I could never find anything about it until I found like this company. And so I looked on them, looked at all the information they had. They list like a ton of things. And then I started supplementing with some of the supplements that they have, and I noticed like a big difference in their health through that. But also their food was a big one that I decided to switch over. And we're still not like 100% raw, but we have switched over to raw quite a bit. And the first thing that I noticed within like, I'm not even kidding you, like 5 days of switching over, at least like including it into their diet a lot more, was their coat. Like their coat felt so much softer and healthier and like shinier and just like It's crazy. That was the first thing that I really noticed was like their coat health looked so much better. But anyways, they are doing so much better. Still have like some things that we're working on and it's not perfect, but I will say that like making that switch over, and that's the other thing with like doing the holistic approach, is it can take time for your body to heal. Like everybody wants this overnight thing, and that's just not how it works. I will say that like I, with me getting SIBO and everything, I went through, it took about like 3 to 4 months to like feel really good. But after a year, I felt even better. And I didn't even realize how good I could feel until, you know, I hit that year mark and I was like, wow, like I thought I felt good until I like waited even longer. So it's like, it really does take a long time for the body to heal. And I'm expecting that's the same for dogs, you know? And so we started this journey and we're still kind of in the middle of it, but I've definitely seen a lot of improvements for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot on the podcast, how like a lot of people don't even know how bad they feel until they start feeling better. And then they're like, wow, I was really sick. Like I did not feel good.
100%. And that's what I like oftentimes when I have clients come in and I have them even go over like this symptoms assessment test is what I call it. But they mark all of these different symptoms that they're experiencing. And they're like, that's weird. Like, I guess I do experience this a little bit. But then once you start fixing those things, they're like, how did I live like that? You know? So It's pretty wild. Like just what people get used to and what their normal is. Right. It's yeah. But I've been there, so I understand it too. You know?
Yeah.
Even just like recently, I think I have a histamine intolerance. Mm-hmm. And so when I started eating low hist the past month, like I had no idea how crappy I was feeling, because I feel so much better from being chronically sick.
Right.
But like I had no idea how much better I now feel. Like I used to feel like I was like coming down with like, I don't know, a cold or the flu, but like it would never actually happen. But my body just felt so run down and I was having like PMDD symptoms, and I had no idea that like I could feel so much better, and I do feel so much better now. Yeah. It's crazy. You don't realize how much better you can feel because you've been living that way for so long. So that's awesome that you were able to make all the connections.
Yeah. No, that's like a very, very common thing that I see like quite often, actually. Like most people that come in, and even people that come in and say, no, I'm healthy, I'm like have no issues, and then like you start like really going through the weeks and you're like, okay, I think there's actually way more than we think, you know? So,
yeah.
And that's why I always say test, don't guess, because I've had some clients that have like a whole crazy amount of symptoms. And this is a wild thing. I have, you know, tons of symptoms, and then get a GI map and it's not even that bad, but like they're stressing about it so much that it's making symptoms worse. And then I've had some clients that like, you know, have a few little symptoms and I get back and their GI map is like so flagged with so many things. So it's like also just like your mentality and your stress levels throughout the day can 100% make things worse or better. And again, everybody nowadays, it feels like lives in a super high stress environment, and it's definitely making things a lot worse. And I'd say that's like one of the hardest things to heal is that aspect, because you can easily get something back if you're way too overworked and way too stressed. I always like to look at it as like you have a bucket, and this bucket is how much stress your body can handle. And if it's overflowing, like let's say like you're just putting too much on your plate and it's overfilling, then you're not going to heal. Like eventually you have to manage that bucket and get it to a place where it's not flowing over the edges in order for your body to like actually like be able to heal internally. And I think that's why I was able to heal relatively quickly, like within like 3 months. Like that's pretty fast. Obviously I felt better after a year, but at that 3 month mark, I could eat, you know, all the foods that they said I had to leave forever and feel fine. And I think that's because we do have a pretty low stress life. Me and my husband, I try and make like a more slow mornings, and you know, I do feel blessed because I work from home and kind of create my own schedule. And that's something that not everybody can do. And I realize that, but just taking the time to like put in practices to help manage your stress is huge. And I think if you can do that while going through like a gut healing phase, you are going to be so far ahead than other people, because that's a huge, huge factor, is just the stress management aspect.
Yeah, totally agree. And we just live such fast pace. Like, our culture is just such like go, go, go. We want results now. We want like success now and everything. And we just need to slow down.
Totally.
Just enjoy life.
Totally. Yeah. Need to slow down. That's like what I live by. And that's honestly why the van life was so appealing to me, because it does kind of force you to slow down a little bit in a way where it's like, you know, there are some aspects of it that can be really stressful, right? If you don't have a place to sleep and you're looking for a campsite, and it's like, there's been some very high stress moments, but at the end of the day, you know, you sleep and you wake up and you're in like the outdoors, right? I always look at it as like van life is, I only like doing it in like nicer weathered places, because I'm like, you are just sleeping in your van and you're cooking food in your van. You're not spending time in your van. You're spending it outside. And just like spending so much time outside, it's crazy. Our sleep is actually so good in the van, because we spend so much time outside and we're like aligned with the sun and the moon and we're seeing like light all day long. You know what I'm saying? So it's wild. A lot of people are like, do you sleep good in there? I'm like, we sleep amazing in our van. And I really think it's because of that. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Now I want to go buy.
I know. I'm always like trying to tell people, I'm like, this is great. Like, it's so much fun. I love it.
Can't sleep, go buy a van.
Yeah.
Jordan, we added to our list. All right, we want a vacation house, but we also want to do the van. Yes. A road trip to Florida in the van.
Yes.
There you go.
And sleep well along the way. Okay, so, well, besides advising someone to get a van, what's like a one piece of advice you always give somebody who's struggling or like doesn't know where to start and they're just feeling crappy? Like, what would you say to them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I feel like going back to the stress aspect, it's like you can only control so much in your life, and like being able to recognize that like what's in control and what's out of control. And trying to really only worry about what's in your control. That's a big one. Another part of it though, I will say, is like, which you guys have probably talked about a lot on here, is you drink water every day and you breathe air every day. And those two things are like, if you're going to shift to a more of a low non-tox life, those are like the number one and two things that I recommend people to do, because you have to drink and you have to breathe, right? So filtering your water and like getting a good air filter, especially if you live in like a city of some sort. Like, I'm in Salt Lake City and the air quality in the wintertime is so bad. Like, I'm so grateful I have an air doctor in my home. So I'd say like shifting over slowly to like a low tox life is really important, because there's a lot of things and products that can make you feel, you know, like put a lot of stress on your hormones and a lot of stress on your liver and these processes. And so it's like, if you're trying to heal your gut and you also have like all these super toxic things in your life, that's also going to be extremely hard to do. So like, if you can slowly, you know, remove your cleaner and once you're out and like do all of that stuff, that's going to be kind of like the place that I would start, personally, and trying to get like a good routine in, whether that's journaling, like even if it's 5 minutes, right? Meditating, whatever it is, the time that you can do, set aside to do that and put those in place. So that way you can, you know, have more of a routine and prioritize sleep and recovery. Like, those are the big ones.
So you can agree more. We talk about that stuff all the time.
Yeah, I imagine. I was like, this is like, I feel like you guys always are providing like non-tox swaps and everything, which I think is awesome. So, because I'm very, very into that.
Yeah. Well, we are too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. I think this was a really fun conversation. I think people will take a lot away from it and learn a lot, especially about the gut.
So.
Like, no one has, I think the average person does not know anything about that. And so, yeah, we're so happy to have you on. Will you tell everyone again where they can find you and reach out to you?
Yeah. So my Instagram is general, but spelt with a J. So general.fitness. And yeah, that's my Instagram. And you can either DM me or whatever if you want to reach out, but that's where you can find me.
Yay, awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
See ya.